With Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. If you're out there listening to us from across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line right now, Eric Barger. Hi, Eric. How are you doing? Eric, are you there?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And I've met Eric on a number of occasions at speaking, where we've been speaking together. But Eric, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? You didn't start out as an evangelical Christian, did you?
Not by any means. I started out going to church, but did not know Christ at all. Didn't meet him. I wish somebody would explain to me how to meet Jesus all the days I spent in church as a child. But no, I got off the track pretty far. I was a rock and roll record producer and recording engineer and New Ager before it was called the New Age. I was a drug addict for 14 years and got set free about 22 years ago now.
Now, right, of course, you travel around trying to let people understand this spiritual battle that we keep talking about that most people don't even know is going on.
Well, I do. I travel over 200 days every year and have done so now for 20 years. I was called into ministry very quickly after I got saved, but I'm all over the U.S. and Canada, and just came back from out in your neck of the woods. I'm in Texas today. I'll be in Canada next week. So we travel both ends of the country, both ends of North America, and our website, of course, goes all around the world, and the books and tapes and so on, too. But God's been really good, and just glad to have the opportunity to do what I do.
Why don't you give your website out there? We'll give it out several times during the hour.
Sure. Folks can go to ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com, and right at the top of the website, in the middle column, as you begin to scroll down the homepage, there's that link that says radio and TV or radio listeners here. They click there. There's a little special goodie for them if they want to get an information pack. And we're going to talk about things. I do have a bunch of stuff on my website, and the things we'll talk about today will all relate to many articles we have loaded on the website. There's over 700 pages of documentation and information there at our website for folks to download and to look at and to use as references and resource materials.
Well, you know, when you talk to people about demonic spirits and dark spirits that are not imaginary, they're real. They think you're talking about the X-Files or something crazy like that. The average American cannot believe that there is organized evil and coordinated evil in the world today. And there's a battle between our God and between certainly the prince of this world.
Yeah, it's very tragic that people claim to be Christians, claim to believe the Bible, say they believe the gospel, and yet they somehow deny what Christ himself told us over and again all through his teaching. I mean, we think somehow that demons are only relegated to Africa or the deep parts of India, and that's not at all the case. There were three things that have struck me as I've read the gospels again and again, Dr. Stan. Three things that Christ told us to do. First of all, was to go to the world and spread the gospel, to promulgate the gospel. And some of us in the church are pretty good at doing that. One of the other things was to pray for the sick. Some of us are good at doing that. But the third thing was to cast out devils. And that's the thing we don't do very much of, and we kind of shy away from. And that's really not what we're going to talk about necessarily today, but a lot of people just deny the spirit realm, and we've got to look at those things.
And, of course, see, we have mental hospitals full of people who have a spiritual problem. We call them crazy. We call them schizophrenic. Many of these people really have a demonic possession. And, of course, since psychiatrists don't believe in that sort of thing because most of them are secular, why these people face an outlook of hopelessness there. And we can talk about some of these things as we go through this program. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest today, Eric Barger. Well, our special guest today here at Radio Liberty is Eric Barger, and of course this is Dr. Stan coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And Eric, of course, has had a very colorful life. He's been a drug addict. He's been, you know, into the rock and roll music. And then, of course, the Lord brought him to salvation. And for the last 20 years or so, he's been out trying to talk to people to help them to understand what's really going on behind the scenes and bringing people to Christ and involved with deliverance ministries. And most people don't even really believe this sort of thing is necessary. The average Christian doesn't really understand what the Bible says about the spiritual battle that we face. Eric, thank you so much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, I'm just glad to be with you and to talk about these issues. You know, I think the main reason that we in modern-day Christianity have denied or shied away from or kind of discount the idea of activity in the spirit realm is probably because of a lack of teaching. There has not been emphasis on it. There's been a turn away from these things because in denominational Christianity, as we probably most listeners are aware of, how many of the denominations have gone so far away from the gospel yet still claim to be Christians, and we have a lack of teaching on this. It's like, you know, when the church came over and we were on the right side of the tracks instead of the wrong side of the tracks, we decided we wanted to be respectable in the community, and if we did too many weird things like cast devils out of people and get them really set free, that might cause people to look down on us somehow. But that's part of the mission of the church, and I'm not really here today to talk about demonology or to talk about exorcism and that kind of thing, but really, you know, you can't mention liberal Christianity today without recognizing that there's a total discount of activity from the spirit realm and activity in the spirit realm. And hey, we have a very real God who lives in the spirit realm, and we have a very real devil who also inhabits and lives in the spirit realm. So we need to discuss these things and recognize that many times what is going on in the spirit realm flows over into the natural realm, and it's things we have to deal with. And that's part of what my last book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, deals with. And certainly my book before that, Irritating Spirits Unaware, deals with that as well.
Entertaining Spirits Unaware, and we're going to be talking more about both of these later, and we're going to be talking about what Eric is doing, certainly with his ministry all across America. As he travels, you know, from one end of the country to the other, 200 days a year, leaving his family, trying to make people understand the true nature of the spiritual battle that is being waged today. And everybody thinks, oh, we've got a political battle. We've got problems with Iraq. We've got, you know, we've got problems with our economy, not realizing it's all part of the same
yeah.
Spiritual battle.
Very true.
Well, we've got the last of our stations on board, and so now, of course, our guest is Eric Barger, and we're going to be talking with him. He's written a couple of books. One is Entertaining Spirits Unaware, and the other was, what was the other one?
The second one is called Disarming the Powers of Darkness. Actually, that's my fifth book, but those are the two current books that we have out.
All right, fine. We carry both of those two books if anybody's interested in them. Well, you go ahead and pick up the ball there, Eric, and tell us what you wanted to cover today.
Well, you know, we've talked about several things when I've been on with you before that comes from both those books, and this topic really relates to that. I am currently writing a book that will probably be out sometime next year, Lord willing, on this issue, but I'm very concerned, Dr. Stan, with the amount of people I run into in conferences and in local churches where I speak across the country. And this spring, I think if I remember correctly, I did 13 or 14 conferences within the three-month period last spring, and in each one of those, the only thing that I really asked the conference administrators to let me speak on was the idea that liberalism is the most dangerous cult around us. And I don't mean political liberalism. I'm not talking about the extreme wing of the Democratic Party. We're talking about those who claim to be Christians but do not preach the gospel. One of my definitions for what a cult is, and this is the way I start this teaching when I'm out live in churches, a cult is a group that believes doctrines other than the central or essential doctrines of Christianity as taught by the Bible. A cult usually depends on good works for acceptance or redemption. A cult usually adds to or subtracts from biblical truth. Now, when you look at that as a definition for what a cult is, think of the denominations that once preached the powerful gospel that can set people free, the true unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of people like John Wesley and so many others who preached the truth. And you look today at churches that were started by some of the great men of the faith, and you look at the gospel they're hanging on to, the gospel that they're forwarding as Christianity. And it is far from authentic true Christianity as given to us in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, or any of the creeds of Christianity. And so that's what I'm very concerned about, that we have churches today all around us representing themselves as Christians, yet are so far from what authentic Christianity is all about. And there's, I think, a passage of Scripture that relates to this emphatically. The Apostle Paul, as he talks to his son Timothy, his son of the faith Timothy, as he's leaving Timothy with his charge in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come when people be lovers of themselves, though covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Now, that goes on, and Paul talks about a condition that will be evident in the end of the end days. And he ends it by saying, "There'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." A lot of people think that's about the world around us today because it does look like the world around us is being described there. But Paul, in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." He's talking about people who will claim to be Christians. In fact, verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3 could be translated, "having a form of the religion of Christ." And so Paul is discussing and describing to Timothy and warning Timothy and, of course, every one of us, that in the end of the end days, people will have an ungodly condition and they'll claim to be Christians. They'll have all these ungodly things attached to them. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, affectionate to evil, but they'll claim to be Christians at the same time. And this is what we see going on in so many of the major denominations. Now, it's not every church in those denominations or every pastor or every parishioner, but certainly a percentage of them. And it, strikingly, it's in the national leadership of these denominations where the worst problems are.
And, of course, we've seen this with the Methodist Church. You know, once the stalwart, the backbone of Christianity, and now we find the United Methodist Church, basically a homosexual denomination. Now, of course, the Episcopalians have agreed, we don't have to listen to the Scriptures or look at the Scriptures to determine whether or not to ordain a gay priest. What we'll do, and this man incidentally left his wife and children for another man, what we're going to do is listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us. And the Holy Spirit tells us that what he's doing is perfectly all right, and if the Holy Spirit says it's all right, it must be all right. And you wonder what Holy Spirit they're listening to.
I was shocked when I heard one of the representatives from the Episcopal Church this last week make the statement that the Church has never held to Scripture alone for our basis of operation. We depend on the leading of the Holy Spirit as well. And I thought to myself, just as you just described, what Holy Spirit are they listening to? They're certainly... See, God does not... He doesn't contradict himself. What his word says is our guide. And if we believe the Holy Spirit is showing us something different than God's word, then we've eaten something wrong at lunch. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit, in other words.
Well, we may be listening to a spirit, and he may be an unholy spirit, but he's certainly not the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity. And people don't understand that this is all sophistry. It's being used to justify the church, the Christian church, embracing homosexuality, which has always been an abomination, and it's described in both the Old and the New Testament. And the biggest problem, if you really care about homosexuals, you're telling what they're going to do is going to kill them.
Yeah.
And, of course, all these liberals say, it's such a wonderful lifestyle. No, it's not a lifestyle. It's not a happy lifestyle. And if you talk to homosexuals, as I have, when they really unbare their soul, they're miserable. They hate it. They'd love to get out of it. They just don't know how.
Yeah, that's right. And thankfully, Jesus is setting them free. And we see this all over the place. They were not born that way. No doctor ever walked out of an delivery room and said, "Congratulations, Mr. Smith, your wife just delivered a baby homosexual." They were not born this way. This is not a proclivity that God gives them. God does not create people to immediately call them and what they do an abomination. He gives everyone an opportunity to be saved. We see this in Scripture that God wishes none would perish, but all would come to repentance. So he doesn't create people in that fashion. I know there are people out there who would argue, well, what about Judas and what about Pharaoh and so on? And those are theological arguments. But to the average one of us out here who does not have a part to play in being a giant in history of some sort, God is giving us a chance. There's no doubt about that. And God wants to save and deliver, and is doing that, saving and delivering homosexuals from their practices. It's interesting, this Episcopalian priest that was just made a bishop here last week, He was married. Now, wait a minute. There's a contradiction going on here. What do you mean? He was really a homosexual, but instead he decided to marry a lady and had two children with her. And are you telling me? No, he made a choice. He made a choice to be involved in a deviant lifestyle. If I was an Episcopalian today, I would be running for the exits unless the bishops or unless the pastors and priests that I was underneath their leadership and their headship were standing avowed against this. And there are Episcopalians who are shocked and dismayed, same as the United Church in Canada. They're shocked and dismayed in the United Church of Christ, and they're embracing homosexuality. The Presbyterian Church USA there's a movement within them to fight it. And the Methodist Church, there's a renewal movement in the Methodist Church. And one nice thing we see is it's a breath of fresh air to see how many young Methodists and young Presbyterians are standing up for the gospel and standing up for the unadulterated truth and making their stands and being very well known from their pulpits against the practices of the national leadership and their acceptance of homosexuality and other practices.
Well, I think what people have to understand is that the forces of darkness infiltrated our seminaries many, many years ago. The Catholic seminaries, which is, of course, why we've had this terrible, terrible scandal, you know, as far as the priests being pedophiles, and these are homosexuals, almost all of them are. And, of course, but they infiltrated the Protestant seminaries as well. I mean, they've been doing this for 50 years, and this is the end product of that. And nobody wants to say, oh, this is a theological difference. This isn't a theological difference. This is an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy Christianity, and of course, tragically, they have their people in key positions, and it's going to be up, of course, to the people who love the Lord to say, we're not going to put up with this.
Yeah, enough is enough. You're exactly right. Let's never forget that Yale and Princeton and Harvard were theological seminaries.
And every one of them was infiltrated by the dark side and taken over. Harvard, the first one, and of course, this was established, you know, in the 1640s, somewhere in there. And, you know, within 20 or 30 years, what had already been infiltrated and taken over, so they created Yale.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that was infiltrated, so then they created Princeton. And now we have at Princeton this man, Peter Singer, who recommends bestiality and killing your children any time in the first 3 years after they're born. At Princeton University, once, of course, the bulwark of Christianity against the liberalism of Harvard and Yale. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to see that the dark side has always been here. It has always been infiltrating Christianity, and it poses, we love the Lord, but we just want to look at and examine this a little bit more carefully. Maybe the interpretation of the scriptures has not been quite right. We agree with everything but, and of course that but, it makes all the difference in the world.
It certainly does, and this also relates to the so-called German Enlightenment from about 100 years ago that so many of the professors at our theological seminaries and Bible colleges here in America got infiltrated with. And that whole thinking begins by denying the virgin birth, and then you begin denying the Mosaic books in the Old Testament. And pretty soon, you know, once you begin to subtract in the Bible the things that you're not sure that anymore is the Word of God, you take the miracles of Jesus out of play. The book of Acts goes away, authentic Christianity goes away, and it becomes a different religion, and that's really what's happened. I'm looking at a press release I saw from Perkins School of Theology, who back in February of this year at Highland Park United Methodist Church right here in my hometown, Dallas, Texas, invited a practicing witch to come and give an all-day seminar in which she had tarot card reading, altars to the goddess Diana, channeling energies, communicating with spirit guides. That was inside the Methodist Church, the largest, most influential one in the Dallas area. So these things are far and wide, Dr. Stan.
Well, of course, this is the great tragedy, and of course, there's nobody standing up against it, because we have to be tolerant, you know. We have to understand that there are two sides to every issue. After all, there are no absolutes. Well, I'll tell you, once you say there's no absolutes, then you concede that there is no God. And I will not concede that, and neither will Eric. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered what
the Vietnamese War was really all about. Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that if you're out there listening to us out across America, we hope that some of you will want to think about getting a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light water filter. We carry both of them. The Big Berkey, of course, is made of stainless steel. It has ceramic filters. And, of course, the ceramic filters are packed with activated charcoal, and it does a great job of taking out the bacteria and the bad taste and many of the chemicals that you just don't want. It will not take out fluoride and arsenic, however, but however, you can get special post filters to put on the bottom if you specifically want to get MTBE, arsenic, and of course fluoride. But unfortunately, the Big Berkey is not available in California or Iowa. It's $239, and of course you buy it to us while you'll get a four-tape set or a video we produced. However, the Berkey Light, which is made of Lexan, it's transparent so you can see the water level. It has the black Berkey filters, which are really purifying filters, and they do even a better job of taking the impurities out of the water, the bacteria, and they will take out the majority of the fluoride, but after you've used them for a certain period of time, they're not as efficient, and there will be some of the fluoride that'll get through. They do a great job with MTBE, however, you can always get a post-filter for the Berkey Light if you want to get the fluoride or the arsenic out, but we sell both of these. Of course, the Berkey Light is $199, plus, of course, if you get it to us, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we produce. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, you can look at them, and if you'd like to buy either one, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America truly is at war today. Our future, our freedom, our families are under attack. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Eric Barger. And, of course, he has written a couple of wonderful books. And, of course, one is Disarming the Powers of Darkness. The other is Entertaining Spirits Unaware. And both of them go into the spiritual battle we're involved in. Both are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, let's go to Jim calling from Michigan. Jim, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan. It's nice to finally got through to you here. I have a question here that this is about the morality. You know that our young people are being exposed to, especially through our television media. This is like the Jerry Springer show, which is being shown on all the time. They show a majority of it is being shown on the afternoon across the country. And they're promoting, you know, things like homosexuality. That's okay. Cohabitation.
All right, fine. But Eric, how would you respond to Jim? He's concerned about things like the Jerry Springer Show and so much of the vulgarity that is being seen on television today. How would you respond to him?
You know, I think a lot of us would just think, well, it's a losing war, and maybe we should just back out of it. But at the same token, if we don't write any letters or make any phone calls to the advertisers, then really nothing changes, because advertising drives it all. And when the advertising dries up, then changes are made. So that's the first thing I would do. And, of course, I mean, speak about it. I don't know a lot of the church people who sit around watching Jerry Springer. But I would be warning my kids and grandkids, and being a grandfather and a father both, I'm trying to warn, you know, not only talk to my daughter about it, and she's very in tune with this, so I don't have a problem there. My granddaughters, they're just growing up. They're 7 and 8 years old, and so we're trying to guide them directly. I think a lot of this is about us guiding our kids, and about us having a, not a holier-than-thou attitude necessarily, but a righteous indignation about the things we see around us, and explain to our kids why we're saying the things we say and why we need to have a scriptural attitude, a biblical attitude, as we look at the things around us in the world, whether it's entertainment, the political arena, whatever it might be.
And, Jim, as far as I'm concerned, first of all, no Christian should have their children in a government school. And they even have to be careful because they've tried to infiltrate a lot of the private schools and the parochial schools. Number two, they should not be allowing their children to watch television. The only thing I would even consider are some of the programs on PAX television, which really is for home entertainment. But the rest of it, you cannot trust them. And, of course, once your child has seen some of these things, you know, it has an indelible imprint. Everything you see, hear, or read is indelibly imprinted in your subconscious. If you love your kids, you're not going to let them watch television. That's it. Well, unless you're right there with them.
This is what I'd like to say is, I'm glad we have shortwave radio and Dr. Stan.
God bless you.
Because I don't watch much television anymore since I listen to you on the shortwave.
Hey, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, we've got Roger calling. Roger, what's the special dispensation you wanted?
Well, you know, I don't have to tell you I can be somewhat of a blowhard, but I am asking for a little rope here just to say what doesn't really so much bother me with the Episcopal Church, but what does really bother me with the otherwise sound churches. And that is, I don't think, I mean, as rotten as it is, and I don't mean to disparage any individual churches or pockets of churches or areas in the Episcopal Communion that may be relatively sound, but by and large, this is and has been a dead church for at least 30 years. That's probably a bare minimum. So this is just sort of the inevitable outcome. And the Archbishop of Canterbury getting all undies in a bunch, that has not to do with adherence to doctrine. That is unity at any price, in my estimation.
Well, you'll be glad to know, though, that some of the African churches, where they still have civilization, they're not going to go along with this. And isn't it really amazing when you have to go to African bishops who say, we're not going to put up with this, we're pulling out.
Dr. Stan, I can't help but jump in here. You know, unity at the cost of the truth of Scripture is not unity. And that's what's happened is we're saying, oh, just, it's almost like the line, can't we all just get along? And,
right.
And that's what's happened to us in the church. If we don't have the Bible to stand on, then we can decide what we want to believe or what we don't want to believe. We've got to take all the Bible and look at it and say, that is my guide, that is my guidepost. I can't cross this line about whatever particular issue it is. And that's what's happened within the denominations. In order to be acceptable in the culture, they've decided they don't want to believe the Bible and they want to circumvent it. What really disturbs me and gets me is how many times we've heard people say that somehow homosexuality and the scriptures can somehow be harmonized. And that's just one example, this idea of witchcraft within churches as well. Yeah, the Disciples of Christ Seminary there in Los Angeles, having three Wiccan priestesses come and bless the land where they're going to build a chapel for all religions to worship together. That's on their property down there. That was on the front page of the LA Times. It's this kind of thing that we finally come to, and this all relates back, every bit of it, to the idea that we can decide we don't like one part of Scripture, and then the next part, and finally it's a row of dominoes falling down.
Could you carry me over, please?
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 whipping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the moment I just wanted to tell you about a couple of the other things we carry. One of them is called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a board game that's designed to teach your children and your grandchildren and maybe even you how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's a wonderful, wonderful program designed by the same woman who developed the phonics game. Most of these other products to teach children phonics are going to be $600, $800, $1,200. Some of them are. By that time, you get through everything. And here, you're going to get everything you need in 5 board games and 2 bonus games. We throw in a couple of extra books. There's $139.95. In 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that the government schools have done in deliberately dumbing down our children. So if you'd like to find out about Phonopoly, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. In fact, we sort of hope you want to buy one. And then, of course, we want you to tell you about the Miracle 2 soap products. And we can't make any medical claims for them. We'll tell you that many of our listeners make all sorts of claims and tell us all sorts of wonderful things that's done for them. And you can go up on our website at RadioLiberty.com and see what our listeners have said. But I will tell you that I use the products, my wife uses the products, and we wouldn't be without them. And amazing, I don't know why they work, but they do work. There's a soap, there's a moisturizing soap, favorite one that I have is the gel. And, of course, I have a little skin rash, and it's certainly taken beautiful care of that. We hear this from so many people. The neutralizer seems to help the intestines. The lotion people use for their complexion. You're just going to have to try them yourself, but we hope that you'll be as sold in the products as we are. You get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's called Miracle 2 Soap Products. Call right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Eric Barger. And Eric is out going across the country trying to tell people about this spiritual battle we're involved in and about liberalism and how this liberalism within the churches is destroying the foundation of the religious belief of our people. He's written two wonderful, wonderful books. One is Discerning or Disarming the Powers of Darkness, and the other is Entertaining Spirits Unaware. And both of them goes into the spiritual battle, and if you haven't read them, you should. But right now, we still have Roger on the line. Roger, you still there?
Yes, thanks, your gentleman.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, okay, now, I said it really didn't bother me so much, but what really bothers me is our otherwise sound primitive churches, that those that adhere to the primacy of the fundamentals of the faith. What really bothers me is that they don't have an awareness or teaching about how the ivory tower is the control tower of a civilization, and we have unnecessarily ceded that. There's no reason, since the Christian faith is the most intellectually rigorous belief system there is, that we concede defeat. And I'm like an intellectual dilettante, a bare dabbler, and I can defend these principles, but when I put them to other people, they really can't. And virtually any person you talk with, and there's no reason for that. If you like what I had to say, I'd just like to drop a few book titles at folks. There's A Christian Philosophy of Education and some other books by Gordon Clark. And some of these Presbyterians, I'm not one, do a better job on some of these things than than the other folks.
Okay, let's get Eric's response, and thanks so much, Roger. Of course, what do you think, anything about what Roger is saying? He's very concerned that the legitimate churches, the churches that are still espousing the faith, are not really taking a good, strong stand and preparing people to defend the faith.
Well, I think that's true. I think there's a need for both apologetics and polemics right within the church foundation, and there's no secret in the idea that the denominational churches steer away from some of these things. Even those denominational churches that are still preaching the gospel, they steer away from issues such as abortion or the Harry Potter phenomena or anything that might cause controversy. I think, you know, we don't necessarily have to go out and make enemies as Christians, and you know, God knows in my ministry, just because of the issues I talk about, there's enough people that don't like what I talk about that they don't like me because of it. And I'm not trying to make enemies, but God's called me to an apologetics and polemic type ministry. And apologetics is how to defend the faith, and polemics is the expose of other religions or doctrines that are not consistent with Christianity. And so anytime you're doing that, you're going to have trouble. I want to backtrack while I've still got the microphone, so to speak, Dr. Stan, and just say how much I totally agree with you about the government schools and about the need for Christians to invest in their children by sending them to a good, sound, doctrinally sound Christian school or homeschool, one of the two. I've got my granddaughters in Christian school. It is paying dividends. I mean, I am so passionate about this. It's one of the things I speak about. One of my other seminars I do is on the foundation of America and who we are and who the founding fathers intended us to be. And when I come along in that seminar talking about Noah Webster, who was the founder of American education, and how he used the Bible and believed that it was the basis and should be the basis for all education in a free society, and discuss this, I look out and the parents in the audience have no conception. They look at you like they've never heard this stuff before. That's because they've never ever seen a copy of the Blueback Speller or the New England Primer. They don't know that's how our kids were taught to read and write, by using Scripture. And so I can't tell you how much I agree with you. It is something I only wish I'd have been saved and been sound of mind when I was raising my kids, that they could have started out in a Christian school.
Well, you know, I think that the thing that the Christians don't understand is that what happened initially was that all education was through the church. And, of course, as you talk about the Blueback Speller, it was a blue-covered spelling. And, of course, if you go through this, and these are available from Southwest Radio Church, or do you offer those through your ministry?
Yes, we do, uh-huh.
Oh, we'll give your ministry again, then.
Well, people go to our website, ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com, or Southwest Radio Church, either one. I do their program, and, you know, that's how we met, was through
right.
their ministry. And so I tell you what, that's an important book, and thankfully that book's been put back in print.
And, of course, the whole idea was that we had a 95% literacy rate by about 1820. And, you know, people could read, and, of course, the whole idea was everybody should be trained to read the Bible. And then so the liberals came along, and they said, but, well, what about that 5%? They can't read. And only if we had, of course, if we had public education, then everybody would be able to read. And then, of course, they infiltrated the mainline churches, and they got them to begin to abandon Christian education. After all, you know, we could have the public schools, and they would bear the responsibility and bear the burden financially, and then we could have the Bible in the school, and everybody would read, and we'd have laws that everybody had to go to church. Well, everybody had to go to public schools. And, of course, how far we've gone from there, and for a time, yes, they did teach the Bible in the school, but that was never the intent. The intent was to destroy Christianity, and they've done a very, very good job of getting our children into government schools and then undermining their faith, teaching them, oh, man wasn't created. I mean, that's a myth. I mean, actually, science has proven that man evolved millions and millions and millions of years ago. Now, of course, science has to be able to, of course, to have observation and be able to reproduce it. And none of this is science. It's all simply a lie. But repeat it often enough, doesn't matter how ridiculous something is, why people will eventually come to believe it. And they've accepted the theories of Charles Darwin, and we have copies of Darwin's book where he talks about the Creator. He recognized there was a God. But, of course, they don't teach that in schools today, do they?
No, of course not. No, that is so far away from what they're trying to, you know, get our kids to believe. And there is a, you know, the problem just as much in what they're teaching is the fact that they're not teaching the whole truth. For example, they don't teach in our schools today that our founders looked at a scripture passage from the book of Isaiah to see the three branches of our federal government. That's just basic seventh grade civics to me. There wouldn't be a promulgation of religion, would there, in teaching that the founders believed in God, they read the Bible, and they saw in a passage in Isaiah the three branches of our federal government, you know, and that to me should be taught to people, and it's not. And that's just one of the many examples we could give of what's being omitted in the curriculum. The curriculum writers, in my mind, are just maybe there is more to fault than anybody else in the whole in all that we could discuss in the different people. There's certainly the ministers and so on. The teachers, I thought them last because many of them, they're just given these books. They've got a big load on their hands. And they're taught to teach this stuff, and maybe they've been schooled this stuff themselves in college and so on, and they're teaching schools and so on. But, you know, it comes back to those curriculum writers have an agenda.
Well, of course, but also, so Supreme Court, when they took the Ten Commandments out of our schools, the Supreme Court basically held this. They said, look, it wouldn't do any good to have the Ten Commandments posted in a schoolroom because it wouldn't do any good unless the children read it. And of course, if they read it, they might meditate upon it. If they meditated upon it, they might obey that. And if they were to obey the Ten Commandments, it would be a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. In other words, if they believed that you shouldn't kill and that you shouldn't steal, that's a violation of the wall of separation. That's what the Supreme Court said. And people said they couldn't have said that. Yes, they did, because the wicked people had taken over control of our courts. And that's why we're in the trouble we are today. And that is the basis of the recent Supreme Court decisions. You have to understand these people, they're all liars. They've all sworn to uphold our Constitution. And this fellow Brewer was recently interviewed, and he said, well, I don't even think our Constitution is relevant at this time. This is a man who put his hand on the Bible and swore to uphold the Constitution that he doesn't even believe in.
Yeah, that's exactly it right there. In fact, in 1980, you go back to 1962 when prayer was removed from public schools, and I believe from that point on we can see a dramatic downhill spiral of the hand of God lifting off our country. And that's not a statement I make just after 9/11/2001. That's something I was saying way before that. But the Supreme Court in 1980 said this, and you just paraphrase it. I'll read exactly what it said. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments have any effect at all, it would be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments. This is not a permissible state objective under the Establishment Clause. That's exactly opposite to what the Establishment Clause says, Dr. Stan. The Establishment Clause says we need religion to have morality.
And of course, we would want to tell our kids it's against the law now not to not kill. I mean, we're saying thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. And we're telling the kids we don't want you to believe in these things. And where was the church when these things happened? Well, they didn't want to speak out because they didn't want to be controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't want to offend any of the atheists. We want everybody to like us, after all. But I believe the church is going to be held responsible for what it's done. And I'm glad I'm not a minister, because I would hate to have to stand before the bar of judgment and admit, well, I had far more fear of government and of losing parishioners than I did of God.
Dr. Stan, that's exactly it right there. I mean, the church needs to stand up from the pulpit to the pew. We need to stand up with one voice about issues like this and say this is the truth, whether we like it or not, this is the truth. And, you know, we ought to all be on board with what God's Word says. If we're going to claim to be Christians, something I mention quite often is there's a poll taken of about 7,500 ministers across the country, and they were asked if they believed in the resurrection. And 51% of the United Methodists said they didn't. About 30% of the American Baptists said they didn't. Same with Presbyterians. And to them, all I can say is, why call yourself a minister anymore? I mean, the state is looking for good social workers. If all you want to do is help people, stop feigning that you're a minister of the gospel because you're preaching a different religion. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then our hope is gone, because our hope is in the resurrection of Christ and his promise that we'll be resurrected as well.
You're absolutely right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let me tell you that society is a reflection of the church. This is the way it has always been in America. And when we look and see the reflection of the church in society, then, of course, I think we have to take a very serious look at the church and see what it is accomplishing in our society. And I think it's becoming increasingly irrelevant because, of course, it's lost its cause, and that was to be the conscience of society, to be the salt and the light, to be the leaders of the people.
Yeah, that's it. We should be. There's a famous quote that I memorized long ago by J. Philip Wagaman. He's the pastor of Foundry Methodist Church, a very historical church in Washington, D.C. He said the scriptures, like the Washington Post, contain both truth and error. Now, that's coming from the pulpit there. I think about that point, if I would have been sitting there that day, I would have probably stood up, and I would have gone to the front door of the church, and I would have looked outside to see if the word Ichabod was written across the front door. Because I'm sure spiritually it was. By the way, he said that in the presence of Bill and Hillary Clinton, who were part of his parishioners during their tenure in Washington, D.C. That's the problem. Now, he's one of only about 100 Methodist pastors, as of 10 years ago, who disapproved of the Methodist Church disapproval of homosexual practices. The problem is the Methodist Church shouldn't just disapprove of. It should disallow these things within their church body. And the Methodist Church didn't take a strong enough stand, and now that whole thinking has its foot in the front door, and we want to be all-inclusive, we don't want to turn people away, we want to somehow, I mean, I've heard people say, we want to minister to them, that's why we want them to become members of our churches. That's not what the apostles taught. That's not what the Book of Acts model is. We need to get back to what the Book of Acts teaches about these things and what the model of the epistles teaches on these issues, and when we do that, we'll be blessed by God. If we don't, we're under a curse, and we'll continue under that curse until we repent and get it right.
Well, let me just play the devil's advocate, Eric. Of course, some people will say, but we shouldn't be judgmental. I mean, we're told, I think the president said the other day, you know, don't look at the speck in the other fellow's eye. Look at the mote in your own eye. And so what should we be judgmental about homosexuality? And that was his response. And, of course, then he said, of course, he was going to try to get a law passed to make a marriage a situation between man and wife, but it wouldn't do any good at all because the Supreme Court would throw it out because we have consistently put people onto the Supreme Court who did not hold the beliefs of the rest of the people. And what the average individual doesn't know, and so many people voted Republican because we were told, oh, we got to get Republicans in so we can get responsible people on the Supreme Court, and yet seven of our current Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republican presidents. In fact, there's a joke in Washington, D.C., and they say, how do you say Alberto Gonzalez in Spanish? Alberto Gonzalez is the man the president's trying to get on to the Supreme Court. And the answer is the way you say Stephen Breyer. That's how you say Alberto Gonzalez in Spanish. In other words, he's cut from the same boulder cloth. The people in Washington, D.C. don't know that to be a fact. But here out in the hinterlands, when all you have to do is listen to your local television and your controlled radio and, of course, you read your local newspaper, which is owned by Dow Jones Incorporated, which is part of this whole establishment, why, of course, you're never going to understand that, of course, many of these people that are supposedly trying to get on the court are just as bad as the ones who are already there.
Very true. I mean, you were out there on the West Coast, maybe not in quite so much of the flyover land that I am. You know, we're called the flyover area where they believe if they can capture California, New York, and Washington, that's all they need. But, you know, the conditioning hasn't seeped in totally yet. Hopefully, there's enough people waking up to recognize that ABC isn't the best place to get your news, that CNN isn't going to tell you the truth the whole time. And that, you know, I mean, they can't get it wrong when there's a plane crash or a fire, but then when they start spinning all the rescue operations, they can get it wrong. I mean, it's amazing the way the news can controvert the way people think. What it comes back to really is us deciding that we're going to get information and we're going to follow the scripture and look at the lives we're leading and what's going on around our country by the light of scripture. It's amazing to me, just the whole thing about judgmentalism, you know, I would imagine every atheist and every witch I've ever had a conversation with has been able to quote Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest you be judged. I hear it so often, and people don't recognize that what Christ was saying there is we're not to judge others unless we're living in a right lifestyle ourselves, unless we're living according to the Scripture. It doesn't say don't judge. If we didn't judge, we wouldn't be able to make decisions about anything around us. We need to judge. I don't judge people's hearts, but I look at their actions. There's the difference. We look at the works of man, we judge those things, and we recognize whether people are following Scripture or not.
And, of course, we'll be judged by the judgments we've judged with.
Of course. And so we shouldn't meet it out if we're not willing to live it ourselves. That's the difference.
Eric, we're out of time. Get your website, get your telephone number out there once again.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I appreciate talking to you today, brother. Website is ericbarger.com, www.ericbarger.com. Free packet of information for all Radio Liberty listeners. And they can also call us at 972-495-9490. And I'd love to come to the church or a conference or Christian school.
EricBarger.org?
.com.
.com. Okay. God bless you, Eric. We'll look forward to having you on again in the not-too-distant future.
Sounds
Thanks
great.
So much for being with us.
Thank you, brother.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that a couple of things we have. We put together a wonderful four-tape set on the new No Child Left Behind educational program. It was really basically Ted Kennedy's bill. It was pushed through by the Republicans, and of course, it is one of the worst disasters of all time. This is a four-tape set. We call it Fed Ed. And, of course, that is not to increase the reading and studying and knowledge ability of your children. It is to change their attitudes, values, and belief, and to undermine the belief in God, family, and country. We have, of course, interviews with Professor Alan Quist, with his wife Julie, with Senator Bachman from Minnesota. And, of course, in Minnesota, they've actually been able to hold back this whole changing of the status of education there by the federal government officials who really want to control the souls of our children. FedEd, you can get the book, you can get the four tape set, or get them both together at a reduced price. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Then we have another wonderful tape set. It's called The New Orders of Barbarians, and it's four hours of interviews and talks given by Dr. Dennegan, who was a pediatrician back in 1969 when Dr. Day, who at that time, or shortly before that, had been the medical director of Planned Parenthood, and he'd heard the men who rule the world talking about their plan. This is the most amazing tape series we have. And it's a little bit more expensive, so we have to play the person who did most of the interviews royally for it. We have the transcript. You can get the four tapes of the transcript. You will never look at the world through quite the same eyes again after you have heard and read the transcript of The New Order of Barbarians. Yes, there really are evil and wicked people out there, and they're working at the highest levels of government, and everything is following the plan they laid out many years ago. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out 5 hours every weekday, and then on the weekends to 35 different stations. All in all, we're 58 or 59 different outlets every single week. We started with one, and gradually we're building to more with your help and with your support. And if you believe that there's a problem, if you'd like to be part of our team, if you look around and you say, gee, I don't see much of anybody doing much of anything, and we vote for the Republicans, they carry out the Democrats' programs, we vote for the Democrats, they carry out the Republicans' programs, maybe nothing is as it appears to be. Well, we hope that you're going to want to seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family. And, of course, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. If you're interested in the Berkey water filters, we offer them. You can see the pictures of them there, read about them. And if you get them through us, you get a free four-tape set or a free video that we produced. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll tell others about our radio programs. You'll tell them about our website, and you can actually listen to our programs 5 hours a day there through direct links or with the other networks we're on. This is on the Internet radio. You won't get anything accomplished, but at least you'll understand what's going on. Again, the website is RadioLiberty.com. Of course, we hope that many of you out there will seriously consider learning about Be Alive Royal Jelly products, because they are helping us this month, and we've taken the product for 9 years or more. Both my wife and myself, we're sold on it. Be Alive Royal Jelly products are actually increase your level of energy. And if you've taken it for 3 months and you don't feel better, they'll give you your money back. We think it's a good product. We wouldn't offer it. It's a natural product. It's made by the bees for the queen bee. Call 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. And ask about Be Alive Royal Jelly products. And then, of course, Alamax is a garlic product. It really has the active ingredient of garlic. It's called allicin. And we know that garlic's good for your blood pressure and your cholesterol. Garlic has been good for so many things as far as combating infection, keeping evil spirits away, but of course the allicin is basically the active ingredient. You get that in Alamax, you call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. And then, of course, we mentioned that if you would want to help us set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community to teach people about our Christian heritage, why, of course, you call 410-760-9063, 410-760-9063. And if you're out there and you're struggling as far as your health care insurance, it's so expensive, or maybe you don't have any health care insurance, why not consider a Christian health cost sharing program? A Christian health cost sharing program. It's called MediShare. And if you call us at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV War. Why, they'll get in touch with you and tell you all about MediShare. We think it's a great, great, great program. And then, of course, we hope if you have not already gotten a copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special, that you order it, because it will explain to you of this spiritual battle we're engaged in. If you're interested in getting Eric's books, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, or Is Entertaining Spirits Unaware, Going into the True Spirits of Battle and the Demonic Forces That Surround Us Every Day, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.